Welcome into the Locked On Leafs podcast. On today's show, we catch you up on the latest on Kyle Dubas watch. Also, we'll take a look at the results from the Athletics Leafs fan survey. We'll see what the fans feel about the Toronto Maple Leafs after the season. All that more coming up on the Locked On Leafs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team every day.
Your Locked On Maple Leafs, your daily podcast on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome into the May 18th edition of the Locked On Leafs podcast. It's your one-stop shop for all things Leafs. I'm your host, Mike DiStefano from TSN 1050 Toronto Radio, also known as Al's brother on TSN's Overdrive and TSN 1050's Leafs Lunch. Joining me, it's my co-host, my main man, Dave Morisuti from Sportsnet, also a writer for the NHLPA. Locked On Leafs is a daily Maple Leaf-centric podcast, so be sure to subscribe for free. Wherever you get your podcasts from, you can also catch us up on YouTube. Hit up Locked On Leafs. Hit subscribe. Hit the little notification bell as well. We got new content coming out to you guys each and every weekday. The Leafs season might be over, but we are still going to be rocking here on the Locked On Leafs podcast because there's still a lot going on. I mean, this is going to be a busy 6 weeks for the organization. But before anything can happen, Dave, we still need to figure out what the hell is going on with Kyle Dubas, the general manager of this hockey club. His contract is expiring, but it's now been, what, 4 or 5 days? By the time this comes out, it's been a week, I guess, since the team has been eliminated from the playoffs, and we still do not have an answer as to whether or not Kyle Dubas plans to return to the Maple Leafs or not. It's getting a little concerning here how long this decision is taking from old Doobie.
Not only that, but we still haven't heard from the big man, the big boss, Brendan Shanahan as well.
Is it just me? I don't think we'll hear from him until the Dubas situation is finalized. I think that's why we haven't heard from him, because what's he going to say? He'll have no answers unless he knows what's going on with Dubas.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, it would be almost a bit of not a total waste of Shanahan to go up, but if, you know, he's going to be asked questions about Kyle Dubas and Sheldon Keefe, he's like, well, we're still sorting through all that. So I guess maybe that's what he is waiting for. But yeah, I mean, it's not like there's the Leafs have a lot of time to have this all sorted out, because there is something called the NHL draft and free agency that will be, you know, on the horizon. Plus, whoever, let's say Kyle Dubas does decide not to come back, whoever is going to step into the fold has a lot of things that they're going to have to figure out. And the last thing that this team wants is for that to be something that feels rushed. I've seen situations where, I mean, not in the NHL, but I have seen situations where a coaching staff and a management staff are kind of thrown in, you know, last minute because of certain changes that were made, and it throws everything into flux. Now, Brendan Shanahan will obviously, that his job will have to be to try to mitigate that as much as possible. And that's probably why he's probably has to have given Kyle Dubas some sort of deadline that we don't know about. But like, there's no way he's just saying, yeah, I know, take your time, Kyle. Yeah, obviously you want to make sure he has the time to think about the decision and what he wants to do and what the Leafs want to do as well. But there's got to be a bit of a time clock here as well. Like, they can't just give him whatever time he wants. And then if Dubas decides, you know what, I'm out, then you're just like, okay, well, now what?
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking timelines, I wouldn't doubt this Maple Leafs team to do a Friday night news dump, 7 p.m., right? Right when Overdrive's over, when Sportsnet, all their, you know, programming is over, and everybody kind of tries to pack it in for the long weekend, boom, 7 p.m. news dump, and then nobody will talk about it. Well, it'll be talked about, but, you know, the mainstream media won't really get to pick it apart and you know, talk about it until the following Tuesday for some stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow is that deadline, whether it's good news or bad news. But it does feel to me, and based off of the conversations that I've been having with people, that this Dubas pipe bomb, if you will, if you're a wrestling fan, you should get that reference. really took people by surprise within ownership and upper management. Like him coming out and saying that this year has been really hard on his family, and he's not sure if he's going to continue because of that. That doesn't seem as though it was something that had been previously discussed by Kyle Dubas with management and ownership, and that we were hearing it for the first time with them. And, you know, there are other conversations I've been having with people that perhaps that showed, you know, his, not his unwillingness, but maybe he's not 100% all in. And now maybe ownership is second guessing if he's the right man for the job, if he's not going to be 100% all in. So it's really interesting, the situation that we're in here. It's kind of unprecedented here in Toronto, certainly during the time that I've been a fan of the club and that I've been covering it, although I've really been covering it mainly, I guess, through the Dubas era. But, you know, since I've been a fan, you know, for about 30 years, 25 years, I don't know, like, are you getting to a point, though, where the longer this process takes, the less likely it is that Kyle Dubas does return? I'm kind of starting to feel that way.
Yeah, it's almost like the team might just have to make the decision for him. Like, if it just gets to a certain point. Yeah, it's almost like when you're trying to, if your heart is not in it, to do the job. And that's why, like, his initial saying that he needs to talk to his wife because it was a very tough year and all those things. It's almost like if your heart isn't totally in it, and this is where I think Kyle Dubas is coming from, if he's not totally on board with it, there's no point, right? Like, it's just, you got to be all in if you're going to do this job.
Absolutely. The thing is, like, it's weird because I don't feel like Dubas wouldn't be all in, but I feel like it's his family that he's kind of, you know, and look, I got to respect that although it's a job that he loves, and clearly he does, he's super passionate. I mean, you saw him, what he was doing, you know, throughout the course of the playoffs, bickering with fans, you know, tossing water bottles, going on tirades. Like, he clearly is very passionate and cares about what happens with this organization. I feel like he would put 100%, you know, if he were to come back. But does he want to put his family in that situation? So it's almost as if he needs to realize, you know, by prioritizing my job over my family, is that going to cost me, you know, headaches with said family? And that's where he's got to be at right now. So I don't know if it's that they have doubts in him, or he has doubts in the job, or if he can't handle the job, but can his family handle the rigors of being associated with Kyle Dubas, and therefore, you know, does he want to put them in that position? That's how I've kind of looked at this whole situation. I clearly have not spoken with Kyle myself, but that's kind of how I read it. And again, it's not an answer that we're going to be able to get until he comes up and tells us exactly what's happening and what his decision is going to be. And hopefully, again, to your point, that comes rather soon. Like, I would imagine in the next 24 to 48 hours, we, you know, the Maple Leafs want to know, the organization wants to know. And if he's not ready to give that answer, they may have to say, all right, then if you're not ready to accept it, we have to move on. And they'll make the decision easy for him by moving on. And if they do, like, I've been thinking about this a little bit more recently in the last 24 hours or so, as I've kind of realized that maybe the writing's on the wall that Dubas could be leaving. You know, what about an internal successor like Brandon Pridham, though, as a general manager? Like, if Dubas steps down, he kind of seems like he would be a natural fit to slide up into that role. I had seen reports that, you know, the Calgary Flames were interested in interviewing Pridham for their general manager position. So he clearly has some clout around the NHL that, you know, there are some people who believe that he is ready for that type of role. I know he's mainly known as the cap wizard here in this market. But look, I've spoken to Brandon Pridham, and I know for a fact that, you know, what this guy does on a daily basis is a lot more than just manage the cap. He's talking with agents. He's talking, you know, with players and whatnot. So he's not just the cap guy who sits in an office and wears glasses and just crunches numbers. You know, he acts the part as an assistant general manager, a part that Dubas did have once upon a time when Lou Lamoriello was around. So it's not like it'd be completely unprecedented to kind of have that internal solution if Dubas is not willing to come back and he wants to take the year to recalibrate. I mean, Brandon Pridham, maybe he's an option as an internal general manager that would still have a similar vision and know the lay of the land. He is probably already talking to some of the agents of the 10 UFAs that are pending here for Toronto. He probably would have a better relationship with Austin Matthews to try and get that deal sorted out before, you know, July 1st than someone who's coming in from the outside. I wonder if that's also kind of a situation that we could find ourselves in. If Dubas doesn't come back, maybe Pridham is the internal solution.
Yeah, I mean, you almost forget that, you know, Brandon Pridham does play a big part in everything that the Leafs have done up until now, right? Just trying to get all the contracts into order, and also probably with a lot of these trades, he's probably the one that has to, you know, look and see if they all work out and fit in that regard. I also wonder, like, you know, if you do promote a guy like Brandon Pridham, do you look at a guy like Jason Spezza to also move up in a role too, right? Because, like, first off, the Leafs have like 8 assistant general managers, but there aren't many. Like, a lot of them do more of the, you know, player development side. They're not exactly doing like the grunt work of like doing trades and stuff like that. And we know that Jason Spezza is pretty much, other than Brandon Pridham, Jason Spezza has been the right hand man for Kyle Dubas. Now, I'm not saying Jason Spezza is going to take over and do everything Kyle Dubas is doing. He's only had 1 year in this role.
It seems a bit premature to anoint him as, you know, the top dog as the general manager. Yeah. But for him to slide into an AGM role, like, I think I could totally see that, to keep him in the fold as another, you know, bright hockey mind who's rubbed off of Kyle Dubas, who, you know, clearly the organization thinks did a good job. Having guys who are underneath him, that Dubas tree, if you will, I think would be beneficial for this club, especially in the position that they're in with not a whole lot of time to make a lot of really key decisions.
And also, you have a guy who's been in the locker room and on the ice with this team.
Yeah,
and
he knows that.
Seen it from a management standpoint. And like,
absolutely.
Like, if there's no better person, in my opinion, to really give a good gauge of what this Leafs team needs going forward than to give Jason Spezza, you know, a voice, a proper voice to maybe help this team move forward.
Absolutely. All right, Dave, let's take a quick break. When we get back, there's one more piece of Leafs news that did come out about one of the pending maybe coaches for this team, maybe not coaches for this team. We'll tell you about that, and also we'll get to the Leafs fan survey. We'll get through a good portion of it, and then we'll continue with it in tomorrow's show as well. But first, Dave, why don't you tell the good folks listen to the show about our newest show sponsor, our friends at Bird Dogs.
Yep, I got my order from Bird Dogs, and I'll tell you right now, it feels good to wear this, especially with the hot weather coming. You want something that's not only going to feel good, fit you properly, but it's also comfortable, okay? And that's what Bird Dogs strives to do. Their stretchy fabric makes legs look great, and they're comfier than any other shorts and pants that I've really tried on. And, you know, they give me the freedom to wear one pair of shorts if I'm going out to the golf course. Also, if I have a meeting that same day, I can also wear those. Or if you just want to go and hang out with the friends, you can wear Bird Dogs to many different occasions. And if you guys know a certain person, Bert Kreischer, he walks up to his lake house wearing Bird Dogs, goes for a swim, smokes a cigar, grills burgers, and chills with his family on the shorts he associates with the summer, Bird Dogs. So go to birddogs.com/LockedOnNHL, and when you enter the promo code LockedOnNHL, they'll throw a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti-style tumbler with every order. I didn't even bring the Yeti in with me. I got the Yeti as well, and it's a very, very nice addition to every order. So make sure you go to birddogs.com/LockedOnNHL and use the promo code LockedOnNHL to get that offer today for the summer.
Welcome back into the Locked On Leafs podcast. I'm Mike DiStefano. I got Dave Morisuti with me. Thank you so much to our everydayers who join us here on the program. You know who you are. We really appreciate you. And if you're a first time stumbling across this podcast, whether on audio or video up on YouTube, we appreciate you taking a chance to check us out. If you enjoy what you're hearing or watching, we ask, give us a subscribe. We've got content that we're putting out every weekday, Monday through Friday, from now until July 1st. And then we go down to 3 shows a week all throughout the summer. But we got podcasts rolling out 365. Locked On Leafs is committed to getting the most up-to-date analysis and news to you guys that's surrounding Leafs Nation. So if you are the ultimate Leafs fan, you're going to want to be part of the Locked On Leafs family. Dave, there was also some information about a Leafs coach, Leafs assistant Spencer Carberry. He's getting a lot of love as a potential head coaching candidate. He's now been asked to interview for three head coaching jobs. The Anaheim Ducks have requested a sit down with Spencer Carberry, the New York Rangers, and also the Washington Capitals. Now, it comes through the Capitals system. He was the Hershey head coach a few years ago before coming to Toronto. So that would be an organization that they know really well. But I think it's really interesting, though, that Anaheim and New York are interested in interviewing Spencer Carberry, a guy who's been here for a couple of seasons. I believe last year he interviewed in Boston for the gig that ended up going to Jim Montgomery. But look, he's a bright up-and-coming head coach. He coaches the forwards and the power play here in Toronto, the power play, which was, you know, a top three ranked the last two seasons since he's been here. I think at some point this guy's going to end up with a head coaching role. Maybe it's going to be sometime real soon with him getting three potential suitors interested in him this offseason. What do you think about Spencer Carberry and potentially him becoming a head coach soon?
Yeah, I don't see how, you know, he doesn't land a head coaching job, especially if there's no true idea of where the Leafs are going to go. Like, would he like to get the job in Toronto? Probably, if that's an option for him. We don't know, because Sheldon Keefe still has a year left on his deal. So this just seems like a natural progression for him to finally get into that coaching role. You brought up Washington. Like, that's when I first heard Washington was interested. Like, that just seemed like a natural fit, right? First off, you know, he's known for being a good on the power play. Washington, very well known for being a team that likes to take advantage of those power play opportunities. You know, and he's familiar with the organization. That's always something that, you know, for anyone looking to get to take that next step, comfort is an important thing there. Washington's a team that, you know, they're not on the total down. I think they have that opportunity to get back if players are healthy, because they went through a lot of health issues last season that kind of derailed their season. But the fact that he's going to have a few jobs, right? Like, Washington, New York, those are some pretty high-profile openings with some pretty decent rosters.
Well, the New York one I find fascinating, because there was a report about maybe a week ago or a few days. No, it would have been a few days. No, it was over a week ago, because they were still playing, I remember, in the postseason. But it may be the morning or sometime before game five. But anyways, there was a report that Sheldon Keefe would be an interesting name for the Rangers to keep an eye on. That they would, if Toronto would have let Sheldon Keefe go, which still could happen, then they would have interest in Sheldon Keefe. So, you know, the fact that Keefe has not yet been let go, I guess, by Toronto, so they can't request a sit-down interview with him. But Spencer Carberry, one of Keith's underlings over the course of the last two seasons, I think it's interesting that they're looking at Carberry as an option. And again, if Keith does get let go by Toronto, I would imagine New York would probably be interested there as well, unless they obviously hire somebody between now and that decision happening. But that's something that we haven't really talked a whole lot about either. But the Athletic Fan Survey, you know, I thought we break this down every year on the show, because I think that it's awesome stuff, just to get a real pulse on the fan base and how they're thinking about things. You know, asking about the coach and what he should do this upcoming season. The fan base was pretty well, what's the word I'm looking for here? Pretty adamant one side over the other. Why don't we take a quick break and let's break down a lot of the things that we found in the fan survey. You know, the thoughts on the core four, the coach, the GM, and a whole lot more that that the fans were asked about and answered about the Toronto Maple Leafs. So we'll get into all that on the other side. But first, let me tell you guys about one of today's show sponsors, and it's our good friends over at eBay Motors. A championship team is about each player being a perfect fit. Same with your vehicle. So for parts that fit, head to eBay Motors and look for the green check. Stay in the game with eBay Guaranteed Fit. ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. eBay Guaranteed Fit. Only available to U.S. customers. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Welcome back into the Locked On Leafs podcast. I'm Mike DeStefano. I've got Dave Morosuti with me, my co-host here at Locked On Leafs. And we do this pretty much every single year. The Athletic puts out a fan survey, and we'll kind of go and dissect to see what the fan base is feeling. It's a good way to get a pulse on how Leaf fans do feel about the market and about the organization. So why don't we pull it up and go through some of the main key things that were asked to the fan base and some of the, you know, strong opinions that a lot of you, Leafs Nation, along with us, Dave and I went and I submitted my answers to these a couple of days ago when I was sent this. So why don't we open it up and take a look at what some of the, you know, some of the results were here. And because I thought that it was pretty interesting what Leafs Nation had to say after, you know, another tough loss here in the playoffs. I know they made an extra 2 weeks, you know, they got to round two, but ultimately a lot of broken hearts still within Leafs Nation. So why don't we scroll all the way down to the first one? Because I believe it had to talk about how you describe your feelings about the second round loss here. And angry, five postseason wins isn't enough was the number one answer that people gave. 39.9% say that they were angry and only winning an additional two games than they had in the previous, you know, 4 or 5 years wasn't nearly enough to call a success. Disappointed, but winning a round shows progress, earned 38%. So ultimately, either anger or disappointment was the main culprit, and that's how people felt this postseason. Where did you lie on this on these four options that were laid out here by the Athletic, Dave?
I was five postseason wins isn't enough. And I was very, very surprised that it was very close between angry and disappointed. Not because of like, yeah, probably disappointment is a good way to describe the feelings, but winning one round shows progress. I'm very surprised that was very close to five postseason wins is enough. I thought more of the fan base would have been just not happy with the fact that they didn't do enough this time around. Like, that's what I was really surprised about when I saw the results. I know some people probably were happy at least to get one round, but I know the majority were not happy the fact that it was only five wins in the postseason.
7% say, I think I'm done with this team. They lost 7% of the voters here are done with the Maple Leafs. I wouldn't say I'm done with the team. I'm definitely not there. But yeah, I'm probably the weird part is I'm disappointed because five wins isn't enough. I wouldn't say I'm angry about it. I'm more disappointed, but I'm also not looking at, I don't look at it as progress because going from three to five wins is not that much progress, to be quite honest with you. When the goal is 16 and you only get five, that's not really all that great. So that's where I stood there. Let's look at the next one here on the list and see where we're at. What's to blame for the Leafs' second round exit? Coming in at number one, the fan base thought key offensive producers not producing came in at 56.9%. Sergei Bobrovsky was at 23%. Lack of emotion and physicality at 15%. And then the Leafs are cursed, obviously, going in at 4.1%. I think I'm up there with the majority here where it's the key offensive producers just flat out not producing. I mean, if you look at the numbers there in the second round, let me paint a picture for you. Mitch Marner, one goal. Austin Matthews, no goals. John Tavares, no goals. You did get two from William Nylander. You got one from Ryan O'Reilly. None from Yarncroc. I mean, you just didn't get nearly enough offensive production from not only the big boys, but also the secondary group as well. And to me, that's the biggest reason why this team is done. You know, it's they just couldn't get the secondary scoring. They scored two goals in each of their last seven games. You're not going to win a whole lot that way. I think that's the biggest reason why the Leafs are out.
Yeah, it's almost like the offense just dried up. And it was starting to dry up during the Tampa series. Like, they go and they score, what was it, the seven goals in that game two win over Tampa. They're feeling good about themselves. And then from then on, it almost felt like a bit of a crawl offensively. Like, they just, it's something like a switch turned off and they couldn't get it back. And they were able to overcome it to win the Tampa series, but in the Florida series with a very, you know, like, it's funny that Sergei Bobrovsky played better than Andrei Vasilevsky, but to me it's like, okay, but find a way. You're supposed to be as a really good offensive team. You have to find ways to generate offense and different ways to generate offense, and they just weren't doing it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And look, that's why there's a large segment of the fan base, which if you scroll down, you'll see aren't too thrilled with the coaching tactics that were used here. And it was way, way down. There's like a big gap of like information here that,
air your grievances, let them know how you really feel. There was some.
Lots of people were pretty upset about how things went down. If you're watching, lack of piss and vinegar, love that one in the top six.
I wonder who wrote that one.
Yeah, I wonder. All right, what's the biggest obstacle between the Leafs and a Stanley Cup? 30% of the fan base who voted in this Athletic poll said coaching. Coaching is the biggest obstacle between the Leafs and the Stanley Cup. Do you agree? Are you with the masses on this one, Dave?
I'm not saying coaching is the main reason. I don't think so. I still think it's the forwards. Like, how many times has this team just not been able to score in those big moments and make it easy on themselves? Now, the problem is that coaching. Like, I was listening to they did a sit down with Paul Maurice before the game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. And he said, look, as coaches, you know, we can't coach talent, but we can put the players in the position and give them the structure to be successful. The question here is whether or not coaching has put this team in a position to be successful. I personally think it has, like, in terms of, you know, they've done the right things to try to put these players in the best position to succeed. The players are just not executing. It's just the adjustments that are needed to be made series by series. So I think I'm talking myself more into the fact that it might be coaching, just because we haven't seen anything change. It's been the same problem, and it's not just the playoffs that have been a problem. It's how this Leafs team has played against inferior opponents, you know, the Arizonas, the Philadelphias, Columbuses, how they play against those teams. Those sort of things do also relay on coaching, because clearly the message is not getting through to these players also.
I struggled with this one. I really did. And to your point, like, is coaching a big deal in the NHL? And I don't know. You look at Paul Maurice, Pete DeBoer, Rod Brind'Amour, and who's the other Bruce Cassidy. That's it, the one in Vegas. Bruce Cassidy. Those are the four coaches remaining in the Stanley Cup playoffs right now. Those are four of the best coaches in the league. Is that an accident, the way that it's shaken out? I don't think so. I think, again, to your point, coaches put their players in positions to succeed. You know, and it's up to the players, though, in my opinion, it's up to the players to execute. And that's why I have a tough time putting it all on the coaching. And I think the biggest obstacle has to be the guys on the ice, because I think that the players were put in some positions to succeed. You know, you look at like the expected numbers and whatnot and all the chances they had. Kyle Dubas was asked about this at his press conference, and he noted, like, you know, there were adjustments made between, you know, game one that Sam Bennett and Tkachuk line just absolutely dominated the Maple Leafs. They adjusted and they made sure that line was not really a factor for the rest of the series, and that worked. They weren't getting many rush chances. So then in game three or four, whatever it was, you know, they had made adjustments to make sure that they were getting the puck and stretching the ice a little bit more. And they ended up with rush chances. It didn't result into goals, though. It did not execute properly. They didn't have the results they wanted. There was no finish there. And I put the onus on the forwards. I think that Sheldon and his staff did a pretty good job and may have had a game plan. Was it perfect? No. Do I think maybe they took too long to make some changes? Were they too, you know, married to the Marner-Matthews combo that just wasn't working and the Tavares-Nylander combo that just wasn't working? At times, yeah, I believe they were. But ultimately, I think the biggest obstacle is maybe between the ears, and it's not of the guys on the bench, it's on the guys on the ice. So I got to give it to the forward group. They need to play better, flat out, plain and simple. Every year, it's the same conversation. Why do the big boys fail to get it done in the postseason? And ultimately, I think it's on them, not on the coaches. So I'm going with forwards. That's my answer. And that was the second place answer at 26%. So just a 4-point, you know, difference between coaching and forwards. But those were the two main answers that were given here. Defense comes in at third at 16%. The curse is real at 14%. Goaltending at 7%. Management at 5%. So, but mainly coaching and forwards were what people thought was the biggest obstacle here. We'll see. We'll see what happens going forward. All right, let's do a couple more here, and then maybe we'll break and do some more tomorrow. So why don't we continue on? I think it gets into whether or not do the next one, actually. Go to the next one. I think this one starts to talk about, you know, whether or not they want to bring in Kyle Dubas. Yes. So should Kyle Dubas return as Maple Leafs general manager? A resounding 74.9. So basically 75% of the fan base who voted here said, yes, Kyle Dubas should return. 17.5 said maybe. Can he make the notable changes to the personnel, though? And then 7.6%, which is a very small number, said no. So a resounding yes, so much support for Kyle Dubas to return as general manager. But we'll see if it happens. The ball's in his court now. Should he return? Yeah. But will he return? We don't know yet, because at this point, it's all on him, Dave. It's all on him.
Yeah, this is the part that's really, like, I don't think, like, there's going to be a certain sector of fans that are just tired with Kyle Dubas just because he's the one that gave the contracts to Matthews, to Marner, to Tavares, to Nylander. He was the one that signed them all. So there's that sector fans that felt like that's what set the team back. But then there's also fans that are just like, well, he's always tried to find a way to address the issues through trades, you know, bringing in Jake Muzzin, bringing in at one point Jack Campbell, bringing in obviously, oh my God, why am I drawing a blank here? When he brought in Samsonov, when he, like, you know, he's always tried to find ways to shore up issues that this Leafs team has had. But at the end of the day, it's the guys that he put his most of his faith into that haven't really stepped up for him. And I wonder, you know, And the interesting thing is, you know, we say 75%, but then there's about 17.5% of our maybe can he make notable changes to the personnel? And I feel like if he's willing to make those changes, which he said everything is on the table, I feel like a lot of those maybes would turn into yeses.
Yeah, I agree. So basically, it's like 92.4? Is that, would that be the correct number? 92.4% say yes or maybe.
93%, yeah.
Yeah, like that's basically what those numbers would tell me if my math is correct. All right, really quickly, the next one here I think is obviously an interesting one, and it's about Sheldon Keefe. And I don't think this should be a surprise because we talked about it, and you know, the fan base already said coaching was the biggest issue for why what's standing between the Leafs and a Stanley Cup. 81.5% of the voters here in The Athletic said that Sheldon Keefe should not return as the Maple Leafs head coach. Just 18.5 did feel that they should return, which The notable thing here is you go back to last year, and the Athletic had 69.8% of the fans said that their confidence of Keefe at the helm was a 7 out of 10. So there was a lot of confidence in Sheldon Keefe last season when this survey was handed out. You come back a full year, boy, have things changed. 81.5% want to see Keefe off the bench in Toronto. Where do you sit on this one, Davey boy?
I just think that, you know, like, I don't know what Sheldon Keefe will be willing to do differently to get this team to buy into what he wants to do. And I was listening, I think it was Gary Galli that was talking about the Golden Knights. And Bruce Cassidy at one point in the season told Jack Eichel, I'm taking back your minutes. I'm forcing you to play a more 200-foot game. And once you start doing that, I'm going to give you some of your minutes back.
Oh, heaven forbid that happens here in Toronto.
Yeah.
Heaven forbid that happens. Dude, remember when Marner missed one shift in a game and it was like front page news for like 3 days? Oh, man.
Like, in my opinion, you got, as a coach, you have to be willing to make those tough decisions to send a message. And I don't think Sheldon Keefe, I think Sheldon Keefe would have done it. He's tried to. I just don't know if he can deliver it the way that it needs to be delivered. And it needs to be done, you know, at the right time, right? You have to do it where you feel like your players, you're losing the grip, your grip on your team, right? Yeah. Not when things are already spiraling out of control. And that's another issue I have with Sheldon Keefe, is just almost like it takes him a little too long to react at times. Now, and some people say he's too reactive, where he constantly is changing lines. Like, he's in a very tough position where it feels like he can't win. But I also just think that he's been given the tools to be successful. You know, Kyle Dubas has done his very best to give him a roster that, if you look, stack up the Leafs roster,
chicken or the egg, though, Dave? Like, is it the coach or is it the lack of execution from the players? Like that, and that's ultimately, I think, the question that most people have. Yeah. That's the question that Kyle Dubas or whichever general manager or Brendan Shanahan are asking themselves. Is it the coach that has been unable to find a way to get through to these guys, or is it the players that are unwilling to adapt to a new way of playing? Like, that is the ultimate question that I think we need to ask ourselves before just up and leaving Sheldon Keefe in the dust. Cause I think he is a good coach. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, if the players do need a new voice because he just hasn't been able to get the message through, then maybe he does need to go. And, you know, I'd be siding with the 81.5%. But I think before making a hasty decision, and that was kind of the word that Kyle Dubas used at his press conference, he said he didn't want to make a hasty decision. I think you really do need to do a deep dive and see, is it the players and not their lack of execution, or is it the coach and not coming up with a better game plan and adjustments? I think there's a fine line here, and you know, they got to figure out which one it is before they make the wrong decision.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think, I think a lot of people will also say it's not just the coach that has to change, but it's also part of the core, right? Part of the team, the top guys has to change as well. I think that's the difference in the messaging this time around. I'm not putting the whole onus on Sheldon Keefe because, again, we've been saying that there's players on this team that haven't been accountable for what has happened, for their lack of execution as well. So that also shows that, yeah, you can change the coach, but if either the coach isn't willing to keep the players accountable, or if the players aren't willing to be accountable, then you got to make sure that you're not just doing one and hoping that it has an effect on the other. You got to know for sure that you're going to be making the right change and not just making change for the sake of making change.
I will note that there was also a write-in option for if he said no, who would you like to see as head coach? Who do you think was the number one written answer, Dave?
Oh, who would they have liked to have seen? Oh, please don't tell me it's Bruce Boudreau.
Brucey Boudreau is one of the top three written in answers, along with Joel Quenneville, which would be an interesting, dicey situation. And Gerard Gallant got a lot of love there as well. So
I'm just seeing that
experienced right coach. Experienced coach seems to be what Leaf fans want. Probably there were some write-ins there for Spencer Carberry as well, but mainly coming in with Brucey Boudreau, Joel Quenneville, and Gerard Gallant, a you know, fiery dudes who are veterans in the league and won't take no crap from nobody, and maybe could get these guys to ship up, or, you know, they'll be shipped out. We'll see. All right, why don't we leave it here, and let's pick up on this again tomorrow. We'll do like a part two on tomorrow's show, and because there's still some more really good information on the core four, who should be the guy to go, and you know, a whole bunch of stuff like that, whether or not Tavares should be asked to, you know, some uncomfortable conversations should they be had with John Tavares. So we'll kind of touch on all of that on the next show. But we hope you appreciated what we had to say today. That'll do it for us on the podcast. I'd like to thank you all for listening and supporting the show. You can subscribe to the Locked On Leafs podcast and all podcasts and platforms and receive daily Leafs content. Follow myself on Twitter at @Mickey_Canuck. Follow Dave at @D_Morsuti. Follow the show as well at Locked On Leafs. Go ahead, toss a thumbs up on this video here. Comment down below on YouTube your thoughts on you know, any of these questions. Do you like Dubas? Should he be coming back? Should the coach be coming back? You know, what are your thoughts on who is most to blame for this team not getting it done in the postseason? Let us know in the comment section down below. We will continue with the Athletics Leaf Fan Survey results on the next show. But until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On Leafs.